So why don't you all stand together? I'm just doing this off the cuff. This wasn't planned. Why don't you all stand together? Reach out your hands and pray for me as I preach, because I want you to know I'm preaching from a platform of victory. I'm preaching from a platform of knowing who I am in Christ Jesus. But I want to deliver the word that God has given me for you this morning. So why don't you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Go to your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm chapter 51. And we're doing part 5, Holy Spirit. We had an amazing time last week at family camp. And it was an amazing time. And we just want to continue with this. Just chatting with the guys the other day, I said, I don't know how long we do speak on the Holy Spirit. We probably could do like 5 years instead of 5 weeks, but here we are. And so let's just read from Psalm 51, verse 11. David, a man after God's own heart, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. There should be a constant cry on our hearts. Cast me not away, Lord. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So without Holy Spirit, it's not a whole bunch we can do. So, helps if I switch this on, eh? Yeah, there we go. So this morning I want to talk about gifts from our friend. By now we should guess that Holy Spirit is our BFF. And I don't say that in a demeaning or derogatory way. I mean that with the highest respect, the highest of reverence. Holy Spirit is my friend. We talk about, again, 2 Corinthians 13:14, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And for us, and we need to know, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need a relationship with the entire Godhead. You see in the scripture, we have the Trinity in action, as Paul praises, benedictory prayer to the Corinthian church. And we need to understand that we need a relationship. Not just, well, I'm in love with God, therefore I'm in love with Jesus, and therefore I'm in love with the Holy Spirit. No, we have to, the individual persons of the Godhead, and have an intimate relationship with the each person of the Godhead. Jesus is our first relationship, as we can only come to the Father through the Son. There is no other way. Jesus brought grace, and He rescued me. He rescued us from our sin. He gave us salvation. He gave us the ability to have a relationship with the Father. And we have a relationship with the Father because Jesus came and reconciled us back to the Father. He brought us back to God from what had happened in the Garden of Eden. And He said that there was a relationship that was broken, and Jesus came not only to save us sin, and certainly not just so we could go to heaven, because some of us think that's the whole thing. But it's also so we can live this amazing life on earth here. John 10:10, Michael's favorite scripture, that we may live a life abundantly, abundant life. And we have this relation, and the third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. We are meant to have an intimate relationship, an intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, a daily communion with Him. Not sort of every now and then when we remember, but a daily. He's not just a cosmic force out there who we'll sit and meditate and we'll get there. He's the third person in the Trinity, sent to lead and guide us and fill us with power. That should excite us just off the bat. Wow, the Holy Spirit came for us. Jesus sent Him. The Paracletos, another one. He's sending it. So just as a reminder, because we've had a break in between where we are on our journey, Part 1, we did introducing Holy Spirit. Who is Holy Spirit? What is Holy Spirit's role in my life? Two, breath of God. Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the benefits of Holy Spirit in our life. Then we looked at Pentecost and, wow, it wasn't just all that I thought it was. It's a whole lot more and it's a lot deeper and it's a lot more exciting. Because we just think Pentecost was Acts 2, fire fell, that was it. Go and listen to it on, it's not as good as listening to it online, but, and last week, Janine, well, the week before, indwelt, baptized, infilled, and overflowing. Biblical, what that means with practical outworking for us to walk and follow in that. So we have a look at that, and we see in a broad spectrum, what I want to talk about today is gifts from my friend. And I know you're going already, 1 Corinthians 12, that's not quite what I'm saying, but we some of that. There are three types of gifts that we receive. Really? I thought there were a lot more. No, hold on. Number one is the gift of eternal life. The greatest gift we could receive. Well, didn't I earn it? Didn't I have to do something for it? Thank you, Jesus. No. No. It was just a gift. It's the most precious gift that we have, eternal life. It's an eternal gift, a forever gift. You know, some young people, forever. This one's forever. It's a gift received from the Father through the Son. He paid the price for us, who paid for our sins that we were meant to pay. I think sometimes we forget that. We were meant to pay this price. And some people are still going to pay that price. And we think, well, what kind of God would send you to hell? Well, God doesn't send us to hell. Hell is not a place God sends you to. And because He's mad and He's angry with you and you messed up and you didn't do this right and you didn't get it right while you were on planet Earth. No. Hell is a place where you go to pay for your sins because you refused the free gift of His Son Jesus and the gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23. Yes, I should do that. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This is not a theory or thought that I just dreamt up. This is what the Word of God teaches us. And this should help us to move on. The next one, that doesn't come up, sorry. The next verse I have, it doesn't come up there, is John 3:36. It says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And we see the gift of God, eternal life, is the only gift, hear me clearly, is the only gift you need for heaven. What about speaking in tongues? No, you don't need that to go to heaven. What about this and that and all the other stuff? And what about what Janine spoke about 2 weeks ago? Do I need all that stuff? We're going to get to there. The only gift you need for heaven is the gift of God's eternal life. John 3:16, we all know that one very well. The second gift is the gift of Holy Spirit. And you, if you weren't here, you should go and listen to that message, part 4. Well, you might be thinking, well, at salvation, I already received the Holy Spirit. And that's true. So what do I need again? It's a separate gift from the salvation gift. Jesus already paid for that one. This one is another free gift. Free gift. I know I'm speaking English, and I still got a strange accent. Who likes free gifts? Some of you. Some of you are not so sure that you like free gifts. Okay. So hopefully by the end of this message, you'll go, I want these free gifts. If I haven't got them all, I want them. Why? Because Jesus paid for them. He said they're ours. The Father in His lavishness and His goodness and all the stuff we spoke about this morning, the love, says, you can have these gifts. They're for us. Well, I received that as salvation. Well, let's see. John 2:21. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This was post-resurrection. This was after salvation. It was after the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's post-resurrection. But I thought we already received. Yes, you did. But now there's this. Remember, Janine spoke about indwelt, infilling, overflowing. It wasn't just a cute title. There was life to that. There was an importance to it. I thought we'd have, but no, but this is for a different reason. This gift that we have, when you get the infilling and the overflowing, this is a gift for everyday life. That we can get through stuff, because sometimes I don't know. Well, I tried it. I lived that way, and all of you did. Unless you really gave your life to Jesus when you were little, you didn't live life without Jesus. But if you did live your life with Jesus, you tried it. It doesn't work. And you thought, well, that's okay. I know I got to a place where I was doing great. Marriage was a bit of a mess, but I was doing great. Bridget was doing great. Louise was sort of doing great because her parents were a little bit messed up. Yeah? And then we found Jesus. No. We received a free gift. We received Him as Lord and Master and Savior of our lives. And things changed. And we realized it wasn't all about us and what I wanted and how I was going to behave and what I wanted to do and what my agenda was all about. I've lost where I was going, but that's okay. We needed the power on earth because although... Here we go, this is where I was going. Everything was going so well, but come Monday, Sunday night, after we'd had this amazing week that we'd partied all weekend, and we could party, Sunday night was empty. Empty, empty, empty. A frustration grew inside. I didn't know what it was. Well, I know. No, you don't. It's only when you come to Jesus and you realize. You can never understand depression until you've lived there a little bit yourself. Which I have. You're the pastor? Yep. But I just know. It's a plan of the enemy. It's the enemy's plan for my life. Going around like a toothless kitty cat. I know the Bible says like a liker. We've got to get that like part. Not exactly that. Sort of like that. Roaring lion, seeking whom. Making a lot of noise. Ah! Oh, look, when he opens his mouth, he's got no teeth. At the cross, Jesus pulled all his teeth and defeated him. When we hear that, we still go, No, we've got to go that whole thing that Janine exhorted us about this morning. I thought she was just going to keep going. I wasn't nervous. We got to live there. I don't know, I'm doing so much that I'm not in my notes today, but anyway. Acts 1:4. And while standing with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. We don't want to wait. We want it now. Wait, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized all, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It's coming, guys. Hang around. Be patient. Sit around. Some of you are, but I've been waiting a long time. Yeah, I know there's no, this is not many days from now. Scripture also says we're in the last days, and it points to when we started the last days. And that was 2,000 years ago almost. So, a day to Jesus is like a 1,000 years. What's that? Nothing. The problem is, sadly, too many people get the first gift at salvation, unwrap that indwelt gift and say, wow, that's cool. But they have another gift. And they take that gift and put it on the shelf. We've got to get excited and say, no, I already got one of those. I don't need another one of those. No, you do. We need the infilling, the overflowing. You know, I don't know if you heard me say this before, I'm sure I have. You know that whole little thing people tell, well, are you a half cup full person or are you a full cup person? Half cup empty or half cup full? I want to declare this morning, I'm neither. I'm full and brimming and overflowing. There is no half of anything. Good. Now we've got that off my chest. This gift, the second gift, the second time Holy Spirit comes and I get that we don't get that sometimes. I remember I got saved, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Okay, Spirit man resurrected, I'm alive. And then I went to this charismatic church, these bunch of crazy people. And they were going up front and getting hands laid down. They were falling down. I'm like, nah, nah, nah. I should have been born in Russia because I was nyet. No, that's stupid. I'm not doing that. And one day, I went up front to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And Greg was there. He was my pastor originally. Greg stood there and he says, could see me because I'm thinking, if you push me, bud, I'm going to push you back, but not nicely. You'll push me gently. I won't push so gently. So he says to me, I'm not going to touch you. Okay. But I'm as tense as wound up spring. And he says, yes, a coil, wound up, tat. And he says to me, all I want you to do, Mark, is I'm going to pray. I promise you I'm not going to touch you. But I want you to take a breath and just relax. And I did that. And as was if somebody, you know, in the movies where they, well, you don't see it, but this is what happens when those stunt guys, they put this little brace around them and there's this little wire that you don't see. And then they get shot and they get pulled backwards and they hit the floor and they die. Well, that's exactly what happened to me. About from where Kevin is to past where Peter's sitting. I hit the floor, boom, and Greg just walked away. Okay, it's done. And so we have to learn that because our default setting is go over and mess up what the Holy Spirit's doing. Just once Holy Spirit takes over, say thank you, Holy Spirit, and move on. You don't have to go and do something. And the second, I thought that was cool. Just what happened? I explained it. Next time. Guys are praying for me because now it's not just one infilling, it's many. So we get overflowing. Then we go out and give and then filled and overflowing. And I felt as if the Lord took his hand upon my head like that and laid me gently on the floor. Boom. And I just lay there and I just basked in his glory. None of which is all in my notes. So help me, Jesus. I don't know why, but anyway. Okay, so the third one, the third broad spectrum one we're going to talk about is spiritual gifts. They said, I knew you were going to get there. Wonderful, you know me. So there's three kinds, Ephesians 4, ascension gifts to the church as a body. The person is the gift. We get Romans 12, motivational gifts. Romans 12, 6 in the NIV says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us, if a man's gift is. And then we get 1 Corinthians 12, which we term the spiritual gifts. Now, in all of this, they're all tied in there together somewhere, but are separate and distinct gifts. And we understand that we see in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, Paul writes and says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. And in some Bibles it says ignorant. Because the Corinthian church, they were a crazy bunch of people. They were not the happiest, best kind of people. They were all after the gift and what's going on and who's not doing what and not doing that. Remember, Paul has even written and says, hey, listen, guys, you're a bunch of gluttons because when you get to your communion time, some of you just go ahead and you eat and drink and you get drunk and you misbehave. When you come, if you can't control yourself, he says, Mark's language, eat at home and then come. Okay. Burp. And so he's got to write to this church and help them. Now the problem we get with this word charismatic, I just want to touch on that a little bit, comes from the word charis, which is the gift. The charismatic, that's where we get the charisma, and charismatic comes from it. So are we charismatic? And in a biblical sense, we are, yes. However, due to extreme excesses and modern day swings, that's why we developed that at the bridge. We connect all people to God's Word and Spirit. So that's who we are, that's why we do. And you say, well, why, Mark? I'm glad you asked. Because some people, when we talk about the gifts and Holy Spirit, want absolutely nothing to do with it because of the excesses that they've seen. They deny, some cessationists deny the gifts altogether. No, no, it died with the apostles, it's finished, it's not there, and well, my Bible tells me different. And then other times, manifestations and behaviors are not even in Scripture. But we go down there. So the point is, our gifts for today, our answer is yes. A big loud yes. And then we get the problem where people mostly debate, because there's all, you go and read them. 1 Corinthians 12, I think there's 9 different gifts there. Romans 12, there's 7 different gifts there. Ephesians 4, there's 5 different gifts there. But what happens is when people get together in 1 Peter 4, there's a bunch of whole other gifts they spoke about. When people get together doctrinally, the ones they always seem to separate are tongues and prophecy. Because if the gifts are not today, and the ascension gifts are not today, and the apostles are not for today, then we can't have prophets, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. Because we can't just say, well, we'll just separate this one, take that one, and keep these. And we can't say we want wisdom and we want knowledge and all that kind of stuff, but tongues and discernment of tongues and spirit, no, we're not so good on that. We don't want those. We can't do that. It's a gift bunch that we're accepting and taking. So we've got to learn to be free into that. The enemy has hijacked the church to throw us into confusion so that we only sort of live a sort of Christian life because we've got this other gift. And some of it's on the shelf, not nicely wrapped up, and others are just carried around on their arm going, look, I got another one. Look. Oh, now I got another one. Yeah, too. Look at that. Hey. Oh, and if you're from my nation, then you can balance it on your head and go, hey, look, I've got 3 now. But we don't open them. We don't use them. We don't display them. How many times have we said in this church, we all have a gift at least? So we should know that by now we all have a gift. When I was growing up, they told me in church that gifts, the tongues, because they majored on that one not, was a gift from the devil. So now we have to, when you're young and impressionable, you go, yeah, okay, he wears the dog collar, he knows. But what we have to learn to do is when we grow up a little bit, we've got to be like the Bereans. We've got to test the Word and try the Word and talk to the Word and discuss the Word. So my opinion now is anything and everything that the Holy Spirit gives me is good. You should never speak about any gift as being repulsive or from the enemy. Just think about what happens in heaven when we say, that's from the devil. Tongues are from the devil. Clearly it's not in Scripture, but it makes you uncomfortable. I know, I get it. I mean, I can go on more and more about gift of tongues this morning, but I'm not going to. But we think, well, when we all come together, we all have to speak in tongues. That's also unbiblical. Go and read it. Anyway, let's move on from that a little bit. Where am I? 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. All of these gifts. Who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Which means you and me have been apportioned a gift or a gift set or a gift cluster. If you're lucky or great or amazing and God's using you more and more, then maybe you've got 2 or 3 gifts and maybe you've got 1. But the point is, take that gift, take it from under your arm, unwrap it and go, look at my gift. How can I do this? I'm so glad you asked. This is like I told you questions. So what is the catalyst of receiving these gifts? 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. If you've never earnestly desired the spiritual, let's just stop for a moment. Why don't you just bow your head and just say, Father, I desire the gift that you have set aside for me. Not I've desire the gift that Mark has or the gift that Chris has or Brenda has or pick a person. No, what is the gift that you have set aside for me, Lord? Because I'll tell you why that's important. We have to appropriate his gifts. Any of you with little children, what are those things called now? DSDs, DB, DBS? Okay, all right, let's talk to you. What? DSs, yeah. Do the younger people know what I'm talking about? Do you imagine giving your kid a DS wrapped up nicely in a box? And he looks at it and he says, what's it, Dad? And you go, it's a DS. And he goes, oh, thanks, Sam. That's great. He walks around the house with this thing under his arm. Goes out into the garden and he comes back and still under his arm, still wrapped up. Is that ever going to happen? No. Well, some of the parents obviously don't know. The young guys over there, is that ever going to happen? No, I don't think so. They're going to rip that paper off. They're going to break that box to get it open. And they're going to go and they're going to sit themselves down and go, Radio Gaga. At least they're using the gift. Oh, no, sorry, guys, this way. I see you. We have to appropriate the gift. Why? Because his gifts are unique. To each one, he apportions the gift. Not just aside, but needed for the body. His gifts are needed as well, but they're in union. We don't receive the same gift. Often it's like cheating an exam. Sit down. Watch Chris doing his gift thing. And we read over his shoulder. It's like cheating an exam. Ooh, what you got? Oh, let me check your answers. Oh, let me see if I can take that gift because I like that gift. I've told you my story. If I'd got my way, I wouldn't be leading this church. I'd be a rock star somewhere for Jesus. Mark, no. What? No. Okay, Jesus. I've got another plan for you. It wasn't my idea. This is his idea. I just want to say that. The Father has tailor-made, he has custom-built your gift set, especially for you. You get that? You can say, I'm unique. I have a gift or gift set that God especially made for me. Put it under your arm. Walk around with it for a while. Not. He didn't make a mistake. I know Janine was talking about this flag thing to me the other day. I'm all for it. Please don't hear me say anything different. And then she says, have you done that, Mark? I go, I've just been vulnerable. No. Okay. That's okay. I know. So then I go away and I spend some time and I ask God, what flag are you going to give me? A different shaped flag altogether. And he gives me I'm not going to reveal it now because I'm not done with it. And he gives me this color. And I go, oh. Close. I go, oh. Computer people, delete. Other people, scratch out, erase. Another room in the house. Lord Jesus. Can you give me the color of this flag? Same shape, same color. So now I'm just going to have to deal with it. Because that's what he gave me. And I just got to put up with it and get to like it. And know that's his love for me. And with whatever his word, he's given me a word, but I'm, are you sure? I got to come and I'm going to wave their flag. Because it's my flag that my father gave me. And your gift is your gift that your father gave you. But I want to be like that one. But I called you to be unique and individual. You want to be a clone of, what's it, Dolly. You want to be like Dolly? We'll clone you? No, no. Oh, my word. 1 Corinthians 12. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. He chose you in all your uniqueness. And can I be so bold to say weirdness and strangeness, eccentric behavior and shy behavior and everything else in between. He chose you. And each one, He chose you to be a part of this body. I'm taking way too long. There's a couple that are not here today, but are regularly in the church, so I can say this freely. They were in the church and they moved away, and they were gone for about a year. We wrote to them, called them, they just ignored us. I said, bless them as they go. A year later, they walked back in the church. I said, hi, it's nice to see you. He said, we have to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, we were sitting at home and we were going to a church in our neighborhood, but we're so dry. We haven't grown in a year. In actual fact, we feel like we've gone backwards. Separately, the two of them, one having tea on the porch, one working in the kitchen. I don't know which one was male and female. And the Lord said to them, they were like both crying out to God, God, why are we so dry? Why are we feeling like this? And He said to them both, He said, I told you to go to the bridge. I didn't tell you to leave. They came back and they said, that's what God said to us. And I said, there you go. God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. We got, as Steve said to us over the weekend, as Kevin said this morning, we find His will and His will. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, or service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Just look at it. Spirit, Lord, God. Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father. Helps if I do that, hey? Now you know what I'm saying. There are varieties of gifts. There are different kinds of gifts. There are varieties of service. There are different kinds of service. And there are varieties of activities. But it's God who goes in. That's why we see these are spiritual gifts. He endows us with these. They don't become ours. They belong to the Trinity. They belong to the Godhead. And we get to use them. I feel like Martin Luther King. I have a dream. I'm going to say it more dramatically because you're not getting it. I have a dream. Thank you. I have a dream of a church where everybody knows what their gift is, where everybody understands what their gift is, where everybody's not walking around with a gift underneath, but it's unwrapped and they're carrying it, and in one hand they have the bowl with the gift and they have a towel over their arm. You know what I'm talking about? I have a dream that we have a church like that, that are serving with the varieties of gifts and activities and doing everything that God, a well-oiled body of believers, functioning under the oil of the Holy Spirit as He woos and leads us. Secondly, His gifts are needed. Your gift is needed. Not just desired, but needed. For this body and beyond. But now you must know we're not all about us four and no more in this building. It's about beyond. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now all of you together are Christ's body. And each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. New Living Translation of that verse. You are separate and a necessary part, but built into the body. Let me upset you all a little bit. As best you are, as gifted, as talented, as high capacity, as most proficient, as confident, as extraordinary, as the major abilities. On that most amazing day when that all flows together, you are an incomplete person if you do not have your brothers and sisters around you to help make the picture. Which means, I won't go through all that again because you got it the first time. On that day, when I'm preaching here, without you, I'm an incomplete person. Doesn't matter how. They are the best coffee makers in town. But if there's no one to drink their coffee, oh yay. I can preach, but if I'm preaching to an empty room or vacant heads or sleep people, I'm just getting hot and sweaty up here. I know I'm making extreme, but did you hear me? I'm saying this all in love. Are you getting this? We cannot be complete if we don't have one another. That's what the body of Christ is. That's what we're about. You are an integral piece of this jigsaw puzzle. A vitally important, not just, oh well, I'm just there. The only two important things that you can never ever be, including me, and the elders, and the deacons, and any of you, you can never be the cornerstone, and you can never ever be the capstone, because that was Jesus. Every other piece we can fit in and we can be fashioned and shaped and formed. But without one another, we as a body, you as a person cannot be fully whole. No, it's just me and Jesus and we're all good. No, that's a lie from the devil. Let me say very clearly, as long as I can, as loud as I can. The greatest church, growing church in North America is the church of the offended. And people think it's okay. It's not. Go and read the Bible. It's not in the Bible. You can't do that. We either value God's house and what He says and the church that He's building. If you go and listen to read Ephesians, you'll see the eight kinds of descriptions He gives to the body there. All right, let me carry on and finish this for you. His gifts are fulfilling. Our first e-grace value is to encounter God at every level and every opportunity. Unfortunately, the point of this is taken that it's, well, I'm coming to make me feel good. I'm coming to encounter God. I'm coming. Yeah, it's good that you're going to encounter God. I have a dream that we would all encounter God at home. So when we come here, we're ready to ride the range with the captain of the host. That we're ready to wave our flag. That we are ready to minister to our brothers and sisters next to us. I just need my spiritual 10 minutes before things happen. No, have your spiritual 10 minutes at home. Then come fully armored, ready to fight on each other's behalves. And when we all stand together, we go, yeah, no, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, the enemy will tremble. We don't just sing those songs, they actually mean something. I have that dream. When we accept and serve and activate their gift, take it out from under your arm, unwrap it and go, whoa, look what God gave me. I don't think anyone else has got this one here. Whoa, what am I going to do with it? Okay, put it back in the box, wrap it all up, stick it back under my arm, go around. Hey, Michael, you don't know what's in this box. No, I don't. No, we got to unwrap it. It's not for your goosey feelings, your bumps and your self-ratification. My Holy Spirit time. Can I suggest, have it at home in worship here when we exalt the King. The Spirit of God hovering over us, filling us, touching us. We will laugh and weep and cry. I mean, you can't see it sometimes in the front. When I'm worshiping, I think the musos must think I'm a nut. Because I just break out in song and I'm just got this, I just like the cat who just licked the milk. I know all you musos now are going to be watching me. I'm just like, I'm so enamored with God. I'm so blessed. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I can't help but smile and laugh and cry in His presence. He gives us our gifts so that we can impact others' lives. John 15:8, but by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Little bit, sort of, when you feel like it. No, much fruit. John 15:11. What's wrong with this thing? Okay, the battery's died again. Okay, where's Johnny? Johnny, hit it there for me, please. Two scriptures. Okay, not happening. I didn't bring in extra battery. There we go. Okay, there we go. John 15:11. What's we say? These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. I'm full of joy. I want to share that joy. How am I going to do that? I have this gift. I'm going to share it through this gift because that's how I know what to do. That's what God gave me. I'm special. I'm unique. Come on, say that. I'm special. I'm unique. I'm different to all of you. I have this special gift. God custom made them, custom built this thing for me. Anybody likes motor cars? Say, this is a custom built motor car for me. Oh, my word. It's the very thing we spend weeks on in our series in Leaving a Legacy. Self-actualization needs are filled when we live for others. 1 Corinthians 12 puts it like this. It says, for the common good. Not for you. I have this gift. It's amazing. Look what God gave me. Oh, I've got to use it to help you too. Oh, all right. Okay, I can do that. And then you see them get... On the leadership team, we talk about shiny eyes. And they get shiny eyes because I used my gift. I'm just using me as an example, of course, because we all have gifts. But the other person next to you is not going to get shiny eyes if you don't use your gift. Last one, number four. His gifts are to touch other people's lives. Every time we have an opportunity, when we get together... 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received the gift, use it. I'm glad these weren't just my ideas. To serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Which means we don't all get the same grace. Imputed righteousness, grace from Jesus, all that's the given. I don't know if I could do that again. I'm not going to try. In the New Living Translation, it says, manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? I am a dispenser. I am a conduit for God's generosity to others. When God uses me to my gift to you and to you and to you and to you, I'm dispensing God's generosity to you. And you to me. Here's the thing. Knowing your gifts are unique. Knowing them that they are needed. Don't walk out of here today and say, well, I'm not sure what he said. No, they're unique. They are needed. Okay. They are fulfilling. You mean I'll get something out of it? Yeah, absolutely you will. But they're not really for you. They're meant for others. So here's the question. You know, sometimes, why me, Lord? We've learned to turn this around and say, why not me, Lord? Why would I, I'm included, hold out on your brothers and sisters? Just think about that for a while. Why would you hold out on your brothers and sisters? Well, no one asked me. Can I just be honest? That is the lamest excuse ever. Because we might not know what your gift is. Well, no one asked me to do that. People tell me, I love praying. I love interceding. I love to pray. Wednesday night, not here. If that's your gift, my mother In her older age, she was a many, many gifted lady. Someone told her, she says, "You're a prophetic prayer." She came to me and said, "Mark, what's that mean?" She didn't even know what it meant. The church is open. Let me just put this to you. The church is open every day, Tuesday, 9 till 3. Why don't you come down to the church and pray for the body of Christ? Why don't you get a group of people, come down here and pray? Pray for your leader. Well, we all pray for the leader. Why don't you come and pray for the leaders? Lift up a corporate anointing. Not in my notes. Two questions. Poetic license. When you get to heaven, the one is a definite. The answer to the first question, though, will decide whether you get to the second question asked of you. So the first question is, what did you do with my son? I accepted your son. I received the gift of eternal. I received what he had for me. Good. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Did you talk about him? Did you just sing songs about him? Did you even read a little bit about him? No. I accept him as a free gift. I live my life. I have a personal relationship with him. Well done. Here, Peter's wings. Okay. Second question. What did you do with my gifts? Parents, spouses. How does it freak you out when you give one of your spouses or your kids a gift and they go, "Thanks," and they can put it in their room and they never use it? Well, we missed that one. Well, maybe he didn't really want, or she didn't really want that gift. It's different here, because God knows, and He's built, and He's customed, and fashioned, and shaped, and formed the gift just for you. I think that's the coolest thing. Can you imagine getting inside my, or let's put it the other way, let me get inside your head, and when your birthday comes around, I trot out this gift. I go, "Da," and you go, "How'd you know?" And you go, "Wow, what a nice pastor. He knew exactly what I needed." The Father's saying, "I know exactly what the bridge needs of you and from you, and I'm giving you this gift to use it." Because we have to decide and understand again, let's just explain it, that the first gift is whether you get into heaven or not. Second gift, you will still get into heaven, but it will determine what your eternity looks like. Because you do know that we are judged for rewards. You go, "How come Chris is living in that big gold castle up on the hill and I got this little bungalow down here?" Because he took every gift he had, he opened up, he displayed it, he used it. You know what I'm saying? You were the guy, you still carry, you get up to the gates, and Peter's there. "Hey, Peter, what's that under your eyes? The gift I got." Okay, you can leave that at the door. We don't need it in here. You should have used it when you were down there. Last one, Johnny. A spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that God gives to each of His children so that we can extend the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? It's not even within your realm of understanding. And that's why when I told you about this flag that I got, it's not within my understanding of my realm, because I didn't want that color. Let me just be honest. I wanted another color. I wanted a vibrant, let's go kill something and eat something color. And that's what my name means. I don't know if any of you know that. Mark. Means warlike, warrior. I want to go, "Jesus, let's go hunt." "No, you got this colored." Okay. Don't be disappointed. Be exuberant when you ask God. And ask Him, "Why that color?" I'm still asking. I think He's waiting for me in my heart to go, "Yes, Lord, thank you for that color. I'm so appreciative of it." I think He's waiting before He's going to say to me, "Now this is what that color." Let's just stand together, please. I know I've gone over a little bit this morning. But if you feel that something has spoken to your heart here, this is not a condemnatory word. This is to help you. to encourage you, to help you to see that you are unique. What you have is needed. It will fulfill you, but it's meant for other people. Just look to the person next to you. Just think that because I'm not using my gift, that person is actually not receiving something. So why don't we just right now just go and say, Father, I come to you. Thank you for the amazing gift or gifts that you have given me. I'm aware of them, Lord. Lord, I haven't been diligent in using them. I want to change that today, Lord God. Holy Spirit, come. Infill me once again. Lead me to overflowing, Lord God. Strengthen me, empower me. Let my sights be lifted up beyond myself to others, to my family in this church, to my neighbors and friends and those that I meet, and strangers out there, Lord God. Let my gift flow out there more than it actually does here. Lord God, let strength come. Holy Spirit, let me be attentive to your word and to what you're saying to me. And when I'm not sure, let me just take a moment and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do with this? And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.